transforming God. Shape us and mold us this day. Send your Spirit on the wings of your word and let it rest in our hearts. Inspire us to live fully the law of love that you have given to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Guide us, as you did those early followers, with the wisdom found in this letter from James and the letters of others who gave you praise in lifting up your name. For it is in the name of Christ that we love, move, live, and pray. Amen. So, we just read 6 verses of James. In the grand scheme of things, that's actually quite a bit, because James is only 5 chapters. So we read a good little chunk of James. And in this small amount of verses, James does a number of things. He teaches, he convicts, he challenges, and he inspires. All of these things he does to those who hear the word with an open heart. Those who are the early followers of the way of Jesus Christ. But we shouldn't read this letter as though it was meant for someone else. We should read it as though it showed up in our own mailbox, in our own inbox, addressed to us, meant for us. And the teaching that he offers is good. Indeed, it's something that we might teach our own kids or maybe even try to live into ourselves. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Wise words and simple ones too. Simple advice is offered here by James. And yet, how many of us are just the opposite of what he calls us to be? Slow to listen, quick to speak, quick to anger. You might not think so, but how often have any of us heard another person say something, and rather than seek understanding, we make quick assumptions, reacting and speaking without thinking, perhaps in passion, for sure, but perhaps also in ignorance? How many of us seethe with a quiet anger over what we feel that someone has done to us? Not wanting to listen to excuses or explanations, judging them and creating in our heart a dark place for a grudge to live and fester. James knows that we all have done these things. That perhaps even now we walk with the burden of so much anger in our hearts. Anger towards our brothers and sisters in this world. Be quick to listen. Hear your kindred in Christ out, and if you still don't understand, ask questions. Be slow to speak. Don't react out of passion or ignorance, but think. Respond out of a place of understanding and learning. Be slow to anger. A grudge against our brothers and sisters in this world can sometimes be larger than any other barrier that separates us from one another. Be slow in building those walls of anger, prejudice, and hate. This is a good teaching from James. And right at the beginning of our scripture reading today. But of course, that is just the beginning. He goes on to talk about the perfect law. The law of liberty or freedom. And he goes on to talk about the word that has the power to save your souls. These two short phrases in the first chapter of James really struck me as I read them. What I wouldn't give for a law that could set me free. What I wouldn't give for a word that could save me. Isn't that what we all aspire to? Freedom, salvation, whatever that looks like. I'd like to be free of the chaos that sometimes fills my mind and keeps me up at night. I'd like to be free from unhelpful worries. I'd like the world to be free of fear-mongering and racism, prejudice, hate, the divisions between those who have and those who have not.
I'd like us all to be saved from those things. I'm sure that if we sat down, we could easily come up with lists of things that we need to be freed from and saved from, both personally and collectively. And we aren't alone in this, because it's these lists that James is talking about in his letter. As I said, this letter is speaking directly to us as much as it is to the people of the first century. So when James says the perfect law, the law of liberty, or in some translations, freedom, and the word that has the power to save your souls, he means every single one of us here. So if we take the time to look at our mail, at this letter of James, we see that teaching isn't enough for him. Because the very next thing that he does is convict us. Because he knows that you're listening. He knows that you've heard his teaching. That perhaps you've heard the teaching of the whole of the New Testament over the course of your life. But hearing isn't enough for James. For what good is hearing that word, that holy word, if we are not moved to act? If we have these lists of things that we would have changed in the world, then what are we doing in our own lives to change them? Praying for change is important. Do that. I truly believe in the transforming power of prayer. But once you're back on your feet, get walking. Do your part to make those prayers become reality. James convicts both us and the early church because he knows us. He knows how easy it is to worship on Sunday, to feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit poured out, and then go about our lives as if nothing has changed. That we have not been moved, that the Spirit isn't burning within us to be agents of change that we pray for. Sunday becomes the mirror that he's talking about. We come here, we see a vision of what might yet be. We glimpse the kingdom of God as though through a mirror darkly. Then we fix our hair, straighten our shirt, and we move on, forgetting about the glory that was revealed to us. So I have to ask you a few questions. And it's okay to be honest. We're all friends here. How many of you feel drained by the world? How many of us come to worship, gathering as the church, because the word of hope that we hear is like an oasis in a desert of troubles? Maybe you call it a well that you return to week after week, seeking to be filled, and then only making it as far as Thursday, if you're lucky. And then you are parched, thirsting again for the word of hope. It's because we're not taking that word with us when we go. We might be hearers of the word, but how many of us are daily doers of the word, enfolding the gospel into all that we are and all that we do? That's the challenge that comes from James today. To be doers of the word. To be livers of the law, the perfect law that he is talking about. This perfect law, this royal law, the law of freedom. It's the law of love. The law of love, according to James, leads to freedom. It is the word that is salvation. It's not a law that binds us hands and feet, not a law that bears us to the ground, but a law of love that sets us free and calls us to fly. It's a law that calls us to act according to what we have heard in the word, to give of ourselves for the betterment of others. We hear that all the time. We have to do it. The law of love, as we've called it, is a centerpiece in the letter of James, which at its core is about living rightly, about ethics, and statements about God that are the foundation of his belief and how we ought to live. So this is essentially what our mail from James says. As Christians, we don't act morally. We don't give because it's a good thing to do. We do these things. We love the world. We care for one another. We serve each other. We give of ourselves so that we can live into our own divine nature. Our own divine nature. It's a part of each of us. That's the inspiring part that comes from James, that within us is carried a divine spark. A spark that sputters and fades when we ignore it, or rages like an inferno when we tend it. We have that divine spark because each of us is part of something larger. The whole of creation, in fact, that reflects the image of God. And here we are back at that mirror. What we see on Sunday morning is a glimpse of what the image restored to wholeness looks like. A wholeness that comes only when we join together in love and service. Living the law of love. That's our mission on this journey of life, on the roads we travel, the roads that run through our homes, our workplaces, our hangouts, the roads that run through our hearts and our relationships. We live the law of love individually by volunteering at the church and elsewhere, by being a positive example in our family and in our community, by being a compassionate presence in our workplace. That's how we live into that law of love. That's how we carry that word with us wherever we go. We do it as a congregation by supporting and volunteering for the pantry, for the brown bag programs, by opening up our doors to our brothers and sisters of Alcoholics Anonymous, by supporting families in grief, celebrating life through baptism, and providing a space for our youth to ask their own questions of faith. And we do that work together as the United Church of Canada through our Mission and Service Fund, with arms that reach out beyond the borders of this country. It's how we make a difference in the world. And the truth is that we can do so much more together as a church to change the world than we ever could individually on our own. We are better able to live out a love that is deeper than a one-off giving at a grocery store checkout. It's more lasting than the hottest cause of the moment. It's more respectful of the dignity of others than giving them our leftovers or, worse, our garbage. It's a love that seeks to be more relational than I'm going to give you what I think you need. We can make a difference. Both here and around the world, we can make a difference. We can make our prayers a reality by hearing what James is saying today, by truly taking the whole gospel that guides us to a life filled with love and service to one another. In this place and around the world, the Holy Spirit is moving, just as it did at creation. It calls to us. It calls us to life. Let us respond to that call. Let us be quick to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as it invites us to be part of the healing of the world, part of the building up of the kingdom. Let us be slow to speak, waiting to be filled with the word that saves, and let us spread that word joyfully with our neighbors beyond these walls. Let us be slow to anger, embracing and embodying that perfect law of love as we strive to be people united in God's light. For it is in that light that we strive to walk. Amen. And now let us join our hearts and voices once again.